Call the order, the Administrative Finance Committee meeting for May 9th.
Probably need a woman to do land use.
I'd like to first begin with the record open and recording. I'm Councilman John Cartier, chairing the meeting today. My legislative aide, Brian Holeiter, is taking the minutes. I'd like to recognize the other council members that have joined us at the table. Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Bell, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Sheldon, Smiley, Councilman Weiner, and Councilmember Diller. Can I have a motion?
Second.
We have a motion to approve the minutes with no changes of the meeting from the 25th of April. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Before we move farther on to the agenda, I'd like to have the indulgence of council members in attendance to entertain a motion to go out of order so that we can hear from a candidate who would like to be appointed to our Board of Assessment. Mr. Leff is here, and I don't want to inconvenience him. And then also we have a presentation on the Newcastle County Reassessment Opportunities and Challenges by the Capstone students, and council member Kilpatrick will handle that.
So moved on the motion. However, Mr. Leff has met me, so he may have changed his mind. I'm not sure.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're gone out of order. We're going to begin. Mr. Leff, please come to the table and meet the members of county council.
Good afternoon, everybody.
I'm sure members of council have received your resume. If you'd just like to say a few words about yourself, we would appreciate that.
Number one, I'd like to thank you for talking to me. Most people don't. I'd like to start off with an interesting little anecdote, I guess. Years ago, I was asked to teach the appraisal course for the New Jersey Realtors Association called Graduate Realtor Institute to Appraising. And the person who asked me to teach the course asked for a resume. You all have a copy of my resume. And I said, I'm not going to do that. So I ended up giving her a 3x5 card like this with my name, and it said, I searched it, I sold it, I listed it, I mortgaged it, I invested in it, I sold it, now I'm appraising it. That's who I am. And she said, I wish more people would be as concise as that. The opposite of that is appraising. I am a certified general appraiser in the state of New Jersey. I moved to Delaware 9 years ago, I think today. And I used to be licensed in Delaware as a certified general appraiser. However, I wasn't doing enough business to justify the operation. I was licensed in Pennsylvania as well. For the past 15, 20 years, my appraisal practice has been primarily confined to residential and commercial tax appeals, where I work for property owners, and I have the unusual distinction of working for municipalities as well. Most people who do what I do don't work both sides of the street, which means that I guess the work I do must be pretty well sound and acceptable. I love what I do. I've been married 50 years. I have two kids. Biggest hobby is golf and playing with my electric trains. And my wife, every time she sees me, she says, what else did you buy now for your trains? I look at what I do as fun. I tried to retire about 7-8 years ago, and I couldn't do that because people kept calling me and needing my help. And I've helped a lot of people, both municipal and private people. The other thing I think that my wife and I have done is we have traveled extensively. We've literally been on every continent in the world and over 90 countries. And I don't know what else to say about me other than that I'm having a heck of a good time living my life.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Mr. Leff, and Councilman Bob Weiner. We are honored to have your willingness to serve. The service of the Board of Assessment Review is critically important to the fiscal integrity of the Newcastle County Treasury. There have been many challenges over the last few years. Corporations have learned that with skilled attorneys, they can leverage a better point of view, and appeals, of course, come from the Board of Assessment Review. We are blessed with a very strong Board of Assessment Review, from the chairman to each and every member. You are a welcome addition. I've sat in on the meetings, and I think that you will concur. I'm a recovering attorney. I just retired last May. So let me just say that I encourage you to review both the substantive law and the procedural law that applies so that you can better serve the community. And lastly, don't hesitate to ask for any additional resources that you feel are needed, either from this body, the administration that I have to applaud for identifying you. This is a wonderful candidacy. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Based on your statement, I have a question. I've looked at the Delaware law. I've looked at the Newcastle County law. And I'll say looked. I have not dug into it the way I know I can. But I have one question about how the board is run. And I'll just pick a company, XYZ company, and they're sitting with a $50 million assessment, and they're appealing. Does the board hire its own professional appraiser to justify and to defend the amount that's on our books?
Let me premise by saying that I cannot give legal advice, as you know, but the board has within its array of tools that capacity, and I'm hopeful that the skill set you bring will help the other board members realize the necessity of using that tool in particular cases. Also, don't hesitate to reach out to the attorney who's assigned to represent you, the board members, for additional inquiries as to substantive and procedural law.
Councilwoman Diller.
Mr. Leff, I just want to bring council members up to speed. District 5 and District 10, Mr. Tackett's district is 10, we share appointments. You would be the lead appointment for our two districts. So, and Mr. Leff is actually a community member of Councilman Tackett. So that's the background on the appointment. And Mr. Hardman, would you have any other insight that you might want to share with Mr. Leff regarding the attorney question? This is the staff person from Land Use who would handle
this. Denny Hardman, Department of Finance Assessment. I mean, I do believe the board has the authority to do that. To my knowledge, I do not know that they have. But assessment and the Department of Finance have done that in the past. We have hired our own outside appraiser to appraise a property for our defense. I do not know if the board has done it, but I do know that the assessment section has done that.
Any other comments, questions on Mr. Leff from members of council? I want to just say I want to thank you very profoundly for stepping up. Your expertise is deeply appreciated by us in coming forward to serve on the Board of Assessment, and we look forward to you benefiting our process with your professional experience and expertise. So thank you.
I guess the last question I have is, what is the process after this?
We'll prepare.
May I?
Yes, Council. Councilwoman Diller.
We'll prepare a resolution that will come at the next council meeting. And then after that, I believe, Mr. Hardman, you said the next meeting is in July. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. They're in July.
So that would be the first meeting. So you would be a member before the next meeting of the board.
Do I have to be there?
No, I do not think you need to be at council for the vote. I mean, Councilman Tackett can let you know what goes on.
Any other comments, questions? Well, thank you very much for coming here today and volunteering to serve New Castle County. We really appreciate it.
It'll be my honor to do so.
Thank you.
I'd like to stay and listen to this.
You may.
You may, absolutely. We're in the public venue, so you're welcome.
I've been in the public venue. I'd be interested to hear.
We're going to move on the out-of-order agenda we have now. We're going to go to New Castle County reassessment presentation. Councilwoman Kilpatrick, do you want to introduce?
Yes, thank you. Several months ago, Dave Carter contacted Lisa and I and said, I have a couple of groups that need projects. And he said, would you like to give them any projects? So we gave three suggestions. We gave annexation, stormwater utility, and reassessment. And this group picked up the tax reassessment issue and have been studying it for the past several months. I know they've met with people in the administration, met with people on council, talked to different people on council, and have done a lot of independent research. So I am going to let them, so their name is on the record, each one introduce themselves, if that's okay with you, so that their voice and their name is on the record, and then they will, part of the class assignment, was we had the option of having them write a paper, come in to council, and we asked at least one of these groups to come into council so that we, from an independent group, do not own homes, don't care about owning a home at this point, don't care about what our taxes are, but look at this as an overall object and tell us what you think. So this is the Capstone Group from University of Delaware. And if you each would like to just say your name so that it's on the record and then proceed. Thank you.
Now that we know what they don't care about, they tell us what they do care about.
I'm going to be making rounds with some handouts.
Your name, please?
My name is Nicole Gow.
Let's just go through the...
Callie Cannon. I'm Rachel Coyne.
Hi, I'm Amanda O'Keefe.
Hello, I'm Morgan Smith.
Thank you.
Yes. While we're moving to distribute the materials, I want to put on the record Council President Hartley Nagel has joined us.
Thank you.
So the documents that are being passed out are our policy analytical brief, and then a flyer.
Can I have one?
Councilwoman? The brief or the flyer? Thanks.
That's right, I get overlooked all the time.
I'm so sorry.
Don't be, you're with the majority.
So what you have before you is an analytical brief and then a flyer that we were asked to make. So the flyer is directed towards the public to kind of condense the issue. And then the brief is for your amusement.
Question, Mr. Chair.
Councilman Weiner, yes.
Yes, will you be able to submit this to us digitally
yes.
so that we can share it with our constituents?
If we share it with Councilwoman Diller and Kilpatrick,
can
yeah,
we'll make sure.
Yeah, make sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So we are the Property Tax Assessment Working Group.
Point of order, would you identify yourself again for the record who's
yeah,
speaking?
Please.
I'm Callie Cannon, but she's speaking first.
All right. I'm Nicole Gallen. I'm speaking first. So I'm looking at how we got here. There's no central assessment office or mandate from the state. There's no centralized process in Delaware, and this is relatively unusual. Delaware is one of nine states that doesn't mandate reassessment. It is mandated by the county, and the state has relatively little say in how or when property tax is collected. This has kept property taxes relatively low in Delaware. The state is ranked fourth lowest in the nation. Because of this, we get point number two, where there's a lack of public support. Constituents don't understand how property taxes work. They only have a vague understanding of the process and are in opposition to the tax because they believe it goes solely towards schools. People get worried that reassessment is a mechanism for raising school taxes, and that is obviously not the case. Property tax, as you all know, funds significantly more than schools. Newcastle County has relatively little say in how much schools collect. Plus, people are also under the impression that that reassessment will raise taxes, which isn't the case. While there may be some change in who pays what, this will not be a revenue surplus for the county. The lack of public understanding makes it difficult to reassess. And at point three, where it costs, because of how long the county has waited, the process has compounded in cost. Estimates range from $12 to $15 million. We know that the budget is tight across the state, and it is likely that most of this would end up as an upfront cost. Even though the county would be able to increase taxes up to 15% to cover the cost of reassessment, it may be challenging to pay that cost at the outset of the reassessment process.
I'm Morgan Smith again, for the record. The problem of inequity is that those paying inaccurately high taxes are essentially subsidizing those paying inaccurately low taxes. Second part of that is that the value of commercial properties depreciates more slowly over time than residential. This would shift more of the tax burden onto residential property owners. So on to the second point, the growth of the problem. While it is expensive to reassess, the cost will only get higher as time goes on. The inequities will also increase. Devalued areas will continue their devaluation, and wealthier areas will see improvements. The depreciation rate of commercial properties will continue to be slower than residential properties as well.
Hi, I'm Amanda O'Keefe, and as Nicole stated earlier, there's not currently one centralized assessment office for the county. In addition, there's no mandating assessment other than coding that exists that gives responsibility to the three counties for reassessment. So as of right now, there's only one route that can be taken for a statewide reassessment, which would require an amendment to the state constitution, which would allow for mandates to be reoccurring. A mandate that would allow for reoccurring assessment or a centralized assessment office for the county. So here, the coefficient of dispersion becomes relevant. If the coefficient of dispersion reaches a certain threshold, the courts can actually order for reassessment, and this is because the constitution for the state of Delaware includes reassessment occur by county. So as of right now, the Newcastle County has control of this process. However, if it is brought to court, they will lose say in how and when it's done. And it'll also cost more with time and capital because of litigation and the reassessment process.
Hi, I'm Callie. I'm going to be talking to you about the coefficient of dispersion. So the coefficient of dispersion was a statistic we came across in our research process. Various stakeholders that we interviewed suggested that we look into this. So this was calculated specifically for this project by Ed Ratledge. of the Center of Applied Demography and Survey Research at the University of Delaware. And this is based on data that has been collected in the past of market values. So the coefficient of dispersion in terms of property tax reassessment, it's a descriptive statistic that compares data sets to measure the amount of variability within a particular data set relative to the mean. This essentially means it's the average deviation from the median market value from the median assessed value. So in layman's terms, we're really looking at horizontal inequity. The significance in terms of property tax reassessment, the International Association of Assessing Officers sets the acceptable coefficient range at below 0.15% for residential properties and below 0.2% for commercial properties. The closer to zero, the better. However, zero has been determined as being essentially impossible. So less than 0.05 is considered the best possible scenario. In Delaware, you can see this graph kind of demonstrates over time where the coefficient has fallen. So our data goes back to 2007. As you can see, the residential coefficient has remained relatively stable, verging on that 0.15. I'm going to show you the numbers specifically. The residential has actually crossed over that threshold at several points in the last 10 years. Commercial property, so a reminder, the number for that was 0.2. We're at 0.4 and above, which demonstrates significant inequity in that aspect. So as you can see, straddling the threshold there. So how do these numbers affect the conversation is really what we're getting at. They demonstrate the inequity that exists. So clearly the assessed values are not representative of the current values of these homes. So this is calculated based on the market values that have been categorized recently. And what this number is really used to show you is kind of a tangible representation of inequity, because inequity is this concept that we talk about, and it's kind of hard to put into words and numbers, but this really does put it into numbers. So as Amanda suggested earlier, based on these numbers, the courts can then mandate that reassessment be performed, and at that point it would not be necessarily in the control of the county, rather done according to their what they set up. And actually in states where the assessment process is state controlled, there have actually been instances where the state will withdraw funding for schools, services. Of course, we don't have a state controlled process, but that demonstrates the weight of this coefficient in all states across the country. And over the time, these numbers are generally just going to continue to rise. So when assessment was first performed, you were at 0.05 and below. We're now verging on this need for reassessment, if not surpassed it in some instances.
So what does reassessment mean?
For the record, your name, please.
Oh, sorry. I'm Rachel Coyne, for the record. What could reassessment mean for the county? As we mentioned, the cost over time will only increase. The numbers we mentioned earlier, while high, will only get bigger. And dealing with the courts may also cost not only your time, but money. So saving money in the long term would be one of the benefits of reassessing sooner rather than later. A more equitable distribution of the tax burden would occur if the county did choose to reassess. Instead of those paying inaccurately high taxes subsidizing those paying inaccurately low taxes, it would provide tax relief to those who need it the most and make sure that people who can afford to pay the right amount of taxes are. One thing in our research that we found quite interesting is the capability of this issue to address other issues. If we decided to reassess, we might actually be able to clean up some of the vacant properties across Newcastle County. If people had an accurate idea of how much their property is worth, they may have more incentives to mobilize around used and vacant properties. Communities that have erroneously high property taxes already don't have an incentive to clean up vacant properties or come around the idea of revitalization because it would further increase their property values, thus increasing their tax burden. If the tax burden was more equally distributed, it could have the effect of mobilizing communities around revitalization and those that need it the most and will seek benefit from that. They could also encourage small business growth. As we noted, the coefficient of dispersion shows how high and inaccurately high commercial property tax is, which means that the rent for those businesses is likely inaccurately high. Since they depreciate at a slower rate, their property tax would decrease. This could remove some of the upfront costs for businesses, allowing for more innovation and entrepreneurship of small businesses in Newcastle County. With the governor's proposed tax budget cuts looming in the future, the willingness and ability to conduct reassessment will show Newcastle County as a leader and could put some pressure on the state government to do a couple different things. It would give Newcastle County the opportunity to offer guidance and be an example for the other two counties who also desperately need to reassess. It would give a strong push for them to reassess and ensure that school funding from the state will be equally distributed as the budget cuts loom ahead. Does anybody have any questions?
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Well-researched, well-presented, succinct, and I just have a few questions and comments. I'm sure other council members will as well. This, of course, is an issue to county governments throughout the state as well as the state. In my involvement through the National Association of Counties, the Land Use and Growth Management Committee, which I've chaired for a decade, been on it now for two decades, this issue has been the matter of study, NACO.org, NACO.org. And it corroborates exactly what we've had to, what we've learned on a national level, the 3,000 counties in the country. From a state level, this issue has been on the table, yet nothing done for decades. As you know, Kent County is even further behind the curve on reassessment, and Sussex and Newcastle County are both decades old. There's a political overlay that has to be considered besides just putting blinders on and looking at it as a policy wonk, which you've done very well, and that is that this would be unfunded mandate for the counties. As we know, almost $3 out of $4 goes to the state through their schools. The county is simply a collection agent by law for state taxes. A lot of times the county is perceived incorrectly as being the assessor rather than the messenger. So because it's an unfunded mandate, and because it would most benefit the state, one could argue from a policy perspective that Newcastle County ought not to be the guinea pig, but this ought to be done statewide, financed by the state, put on a rolling reassessment basis, various permutations of that, and therefore Newcastle County is not perceived as the guinea pig as we often are. No point going into some of the issues where that occurs. From a political perspective, there is a perception that the state legislature, which is basically in the House up for re-election every other year, doesn't want to be perceived as raising taxes, with quotes around that, on constituents. And even to create the implementing legislature for the counties to do it, they're concerned about being tainted. So it would be my position, I know it's shared by others, that the state, as you said, should be encouraged to take the lead on the reassessment. It should be statewide and then put on a reassessment basis. From a political perspective, a government perspective as well, my analysis is as well as yours is that commercial property is paying, generally speaking, an inequitably high amount of taxes. When it comes to homes, residential, one-third is correctly assessed, one-third is too low, and one-third is too high. The perception of an elected official is that the folks who will take vengeance, quote-unquote, at election time will be those that remember that this person who represents them was responsible, that one-third, for raising their taxes, and the other two-thirds won't remember. No good deed goes unpunished, to say. So by the nodding heads, I take it that you understood everything that I said and didn't come as an epiphany to you.
Yeah. And one of the things...
you're identifying
yourself.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm Rachel Coyne. One of the things that we had come across as well and that we recommended in our brief is that in order to avoid having to have this meeting, you know, every decade, every 3 decades, is to push for the state to change its policy such that they either implement a statewide assessment office or mandate and give some support to the counties in conducting assessment. Because if this has to happen every time reassessment needs to happen, then it is inefficient and it wastes not only people's time, but people's money.
In response to your...
Callie
Cannon, we got to get used to this. In response to your comment about Newcastle County being the guinea pig, although, yes, that is in some respects what would be the case. On the other hand, Newcastle County going ahead and doing it first, also there are benefits to that. You choose the base year. So for Newcastle County to be able to kind of determine, because it doesn't have to necessarily be the most recent year, in some other states we've found cases where they've done it for 2 or 3 years prior. But it sets it up where, you know, Newcastle County is saying, we've done this, we've done the reassessment, it's your turn, and don't punish us when it comes to tax cuts for schools and other things at the state level. So I think there are two sides to every story where it would be beneficial to have it at the state level, but at the same time, controlling the process is a major leg up.
And a hybrid of that would be for the state to put the $12 million to $15 million allocated so the counties could do it.
Right.
Since it's an unfunded mandate and since the state really benefits much more than the county.
Any other questions or comments?
Well done. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First and foremost, I think every member of this council applauds your efforts and the time that you spent in researching your presentation. Clearly, if our younger generations were doing more of this, and taking a vested interest in the future as far as taxation and how things could work better, we'd have a better society. So kudos to every one of you that's been involved in this process and everything, and applaud the two council persons that kind of encouraged this process. Joe Retta, and we made comment to it before, Joe Retta is a former county councilman who passed while serving on his council, and many times he'd say like ditto after somebody would present something, and it was mentioned yesterday. But I have to say ditto from what Councilman Weiner has brought forward, and one of the problems that we face, and I believe the other counties face with state government, is they are a controlling factor where we are not. And so many times our destiny as far as counties is basically championed and ruled by state government. So when we take a look at reassessment, we also have to consider the fact that when we talk about not cutting schools and everything, if we're taking the initiative, some of the initiatives of the state right now are to offload different services from the state onto the county with no funding. One of the initiatives that's being mentioned right now is the school taxes, which in most districts are relatively high, okay? Putting that on the responsibility of the school districts, even without referendum, which I think really could get totally out of control from the standpoint if they have a right in the basically to raise taxation, and that's what they would be doing without any referendum. And not that the referendum process is perfect, because there's a lot of folks that are voting in referendums that don't even own properties just because of an age factor. So I guess my point would be that I think that the state clearly has a responsibility to lead and to work with the counties But, you know, when you look at cost of doing it, when you look at things that they have already put upon the counties, we have a paramedic service, which we provide statewide. It's under Delaware State control from the standpoint of medical control. And our share right now, their share on us, it was up to like a 60-40 where the state was paying more. Well, now they pay 30%. And like I say, animal care and control, the county bears the cost. And the whole thing about the school taxes far supersede property taxes in our county. And so when folks get their tax bill, right away they consider when they get it that all that is county taxes. And so we as elected officials have to take into consideration when you look at property tax increase and reassessment, is that what financial impact could that have, taken in consideration schools and school districts and the taxation of schools right now, in some cases, in my opinion, is out of control. And to allow them now to recommend that they be able to just arbitrarily raise it without referendum, without any state government input or control, I think is absurd. So, but I, for one, sincerely appreciate the time and energy. I mean, this is good for discussion points, and I don't profess to be an expert in this. I'll learn a lot from this, but I also, you know, we speak with our constituents a lot, and we hear what some of their concerns are. And a lot of the things that the state has control over, and we inherit, or that we don't control, people always want to point the finger at the county government instead of the state.
Councilman Smiley.
I just want to thank you for a very nice presentation. I feel very good. It's somewhat your research has supported the justifications behind legislation that was brought before this council previously. I will also state you have witnessed the discussion has also substantiated the vote that took place on that legislation. Where it held today would be the same unless the four of you could get to the floor and vote. Thank you. Very informative, very well done. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, Councilmember Kilpatrick, then we're going to need to wrap up.
Thank you. I was just going to say that, understanding that they have to move on, and so do we, that I want to thank Dave for involving us in this. I think both Lisa and I had a great time.
Yes.
It was wonderful meeting all of you, and I feel every time we sat down and talked to any of your groups that we were talking to the brightest and the best. So I thank you. Great presentation, and thank you for coming in and doing it.
Thank you for all your work. Thank you. Motion to adjourn to regular order of business.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. All right, we're going to back to the regular order on the agenda. Under resolutions, we have none. Moving on to the third part of the agenda, ordinances. Ordinance 17-034 to revise Newcastle County Code, Chapter 2, Administration, Article 3, Officers and Employees, Section 2.03.006, Fees for the Register of Wills. It's under my and Councilman Smiley's sponsorship. And I know that I saw our Register of Wills here. I would you like to offer some brief words, Mr. Poppity?
Yes, thank you, Councilman. Ciro Poppity. I have the honor of being the Register of Wills here in the county. And actually, students, great job. And what I have to say is, great warm-up for what I have to say. The bill before you is simply a housekeeping bill. My office is asking council for a little bit more of a stick to incentivize folks to turn in their paperwork on time. And why is it important that those who are working with the states get their paperwork in on time? Well, take a step back. It's not about paperwork. It's actually about the chain of title on real property. You see, we tend to think of real property, homes, as passing by deed. But so many homes in this county pass by death. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest bonuses of our operation backlog and catching up on the estates is that we work with finance and we work with the tax assessment office to help them know who owns the property. And why is that important? Because if we don't know who owns the property, we can't send a bill and we can't collect on that bill. So really, this bill is more about incentivizing those to turn their paperwork in on time. It goes something deeper, which is when the paperwork comes in on time, we can bill the right property owner, we can collect properly. So I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. And just for the record, the proposal, the substance of this ordinance is to raise some of the fees for the Register of Wills to incentivize that process, to encourage people to get their state documents together and finalize things. So any comments, questions for members of council on Ordinance 17-034? All right, moving along. Ordinance 17-035, amend the grants budget, appropriate $47,644 in funding from the State of Delaware Department of Labor, Delaware Workforce Investment Board to the 2017 State Youth Employment Program City of Wilmington grant to be administered by the Department of Community Services. Is this Councilman Hollins? Okay, Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is, as you mentioned, a pass-through grant from the Delaware Workforce Enforcement and Workforce Investment Board. This part of the grant is for the City of Wilmington to hire 25 youth this summer, and Councilwoman Diller will take the next one, which is similar other than it's for county.
All right, we'll work on, thank you. Any comments, questions from members of council on Ordinance 17-035? Anything for the public? All right, moving on to the next one, companion ordinance 17-036, amend the grants budget, appropriate $94,384 in funding from the State of Delaware Department of Labor, Delaware Workforce Investment Board to the 2017 State Youth Employment Program grant to be administered by the Department of Community Services. Councilmember Diller.
Yes, as Councilman Hollins pointed out, the previous ordinance dealt with the City of Wilmington for the Summer Youth Employment Program. This is the Newcastle County piece. It will employ 50 youths, and it's, you know, two different jurisdictions, but we are handling the funds and the program. So.
Okay. Thank you. Any comments, questions, members of council? Any from the public? Before we proceed on to the next ordinance, I just want to do a little housekeeping. Councilman Woods, Tackett, and Powers will not be able to join us at today's Finance Committee meeting. The next ordinance, 17-038, is under Councilman Tackett's sponsorship. I don't know if there's anybody here who can speak to that, but
the administration.
We'll go through this, and someone will step forward, I'm sure. Ordinance 17-038, to amend Chapter 14 of the Newcastle County Code to provide a finite tax exemption for Del Monte Fresh Produce, N.A. Incorporated, tax parcel number 11-021-00-050, it's 300 Executive Drive, Newark, Delaware, in support of the economic development.
We have the head of economic development here.
Okay, our economic development officer, yes.
Tamara Morris, Department of Economic Development. Good afternoon. We are presenting legislation to offer a tax abatement to Del Monte in exchange for job creation. In Newark, they will be developing the largest manufacturing and distribution center in North America. They're going to be doing six additional tasks at this particular location, including a commercial kitchen outfit where they will be producing all of the protein for their salads, will be in Newark. The initial job number is 27, and that's in the contract with DITO for their portion of their funding. Within the next 3 to 5 years, they anticipate 400 to 500 jobs.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you be specific on the incentives as well as the clawbacks, if any?
Yes, so we are offering them a tax abatement on the appreciated portion of the property, so what they increase it to. And that's the maximum of $150,000 over 5 years, whichever comes first.
Are there gradations?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't think so. And I'm not sure exactly what that means.
Phased goals?
No.
Is there a clawback provision?
As far as I know, no. We simply, originally there were clawbacks, and then when we revised it, it was simply offering the $150,000. We did not tie it to the 27 jobs that Vito tied them to in their contract.
What would be the financial impact?
So the... So currently, well, the previous owner was the school district, so it wasn't currently a taxed property. So we actually will be receiving taxes now that they'll close on May the 20th.
So what would be the tax impact if there were no limitations, and what would be the differential?
It would be $150,000 towards the increase in the assessed valuation of the property, attributable to any new construction or renovation of the property.
I'm sorry, what is that? What does that
this
represent?
This is the fiscal note that's attached to the legislation.
Okay, got a bunch of hands flying. Council Member Kilpatrick, and then we're going to go to CFO Maxwell.
And he may have been going to answer this. Okay, just for clarification, on the building that they're taking as it is now, there is no abatement. So if they add to the building in any way, the abatement is to the reassessed value.
Yes.
Of the new portion will not touch the original portion that's there right now.
Correct.
And in the past 10 years or whatever it is, we have been drawing no taxes from this building because it's been a state property.
Correct.
Prior to that, it was Astro Power, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And that was a commercial venture then that we did draw taxes from. So basically, our taxes should be the same as what we were getting from Astro Power. We should be getting now from Del Monte with a, how many year abatement? Five, is that what you said?
5 years.
5 year abatement. And then after that, if they have made any improvements on that building, that reassessment will kick in.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, Chief Financial.
Councilperson Kilpatrick, you know, clarified the question that...
Identify your name, please.
Brian Maxwell, Chief Financial Officer. Just wanted to clarify that the $150,000 abatement is on site improvements that will occur, that are planned. We won't know what the value of those improvements are until the construction is complete, and the assessment office will go out there and reassess the property based on the improvements that were made.
Thank you.
My question would be, this expires after 5 years?
Maybe
a comment on that, perhaps?
Brian Maxwell, Chief Financial Officer. Yes, the term is 5 years from when they actually take ownership of the property, which I believe they're closing
May
the 20th.
So in effect, they're going to get this tax break on the improvement, and then after 5 years, the new assessed value in total, we would get the tax proceeds from that,
that is
including
correct.
Improvements. Yeah.
Let me clarify, because I think I'm misunderstanding if what he just said. So they get a maximum of $150,000 over a five-year period. If in 3 years they hit where they've gotten that $150,000, then the assessment kicks in after the third year.
That is correct.
Okay.
And it's the abatement's only on the
right,
increased...
The
assessed
right.
value based
right.
on the improvements.
Right. If they improve it to the point to where the taxes would have gone up $50,000 a year, then after 3 years, they're done. We
right.
get the money.
That's correct.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments, members of council? I think here's
Mike, the point I was going to make, the CFO clarified, it's 5 years or 150, whichever comes first.
Okay. Any other comments, questions on Councilman Tackett's Ordinance 17-038. Okay, any from the public? Seeing none, we'll move forward. Ordinance 17-039. to amend New Castle County Code Chapter 2, Administration, Article 3, Officers and Employees, Division 2.03.100, Code of Ethics, Section 2.03.106, Financial Disclosure Statements Required Regarding Persons Required to File a Statement of Financial Interest. This is co-sponsored by the three members of council that have the hometown overlays. I'll let Councilwoman Kilpatrick lead discussion.
Thank you. This came to our attention just a month or two ago as we were looking at bringing a new person onto the DRAC, and they asked if they had to file an SFI. There was a question asked to the ethics board, and their response was no, that they did not. Now, over all of the years that the three of us, and Mr. Bell had one for a while, over the years that we've had DRACs, our board members have always filed SFIs. So as Mike was helping us on this, and we were digging into this, trying to figure out why we got one answer from a previous attorney from ethics and a different answer from the current attorney from ethics, and as it turned out, what we are being told is that the decision was left up to the county executives. And all of the previous county executives, I think there were three, or we're probably on the fourth now, since DRACs were formed, had said that they needed to file SFIs. So rather than asking each time we have a new administration how they feel on this, we felt that it was prudent just to put it in the law. So all this does is add the word DRAC, basically, to the list of those that have to file SFIs.
Thank you, and for further clarity, the DRACs are Design Review Advisory Committees, and these are citizen county-appointed committees that advise our Department of Land Use on land use proposals originating within the various hometown overlays in the county. We have one in Hockessin, one in Centerville, and one in Claymont. So this will just mandate, we change this from a kind of practice to an actual mandate of law that all appointees, prospective employees going to our design review advisory committees must file a statement of financial interest. Council Member Kilpatrick.
Thank you. And one of the reasons, I should have stated this along with the beginning, but one of the reasons that I think that we felt that this was necessary is because these boards are 50% resident and 50% business owners. And I think that it's important to know that the business owners, that everybody understands what that business owner owns, so that there isn't a problem with maybe a competitive business that comes into the area, you know, to say, well, your sign has to be smaller than my sign. And, you know, that's very petty, but that's the premise, is that they dictate to others what they are allowed and not allowed to have for things like signage and design. And I think that it needs to be made public as to who is making those decisions.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the fact that you had asked, I guess, the county attorney or council to council, whether the...
we asked the ethics attorney.
Ethics attorney.
Yes.
Well, I guess my concern is when you ask the ethics attorney, are they giving you a political answer or a legal answer?
No, it wasn't...
It sounds like they're giving you a political response.
No, I think in the very beginning we got a very legal response, that it was... There is no place that it was listed that these DRACs had to, the members of DRAC had to sign, had to fill out SFIs. I mean, that was just like the clear letter of the law. And ultimately, as we went back and researched this, it was the county executives making the decision as to whether they had to fill out SFIs or not. And so we decided to take it out of that entire arena and put it into the law. This section of the law just lists 7, 8, 9, whatever it is, committees where SFIs have to be filled out, and this one is just added in, so it's basically four words added in to this section of law.
Yeah, I get that point. I think I understood you to say that the attorney for the Ethics Commission gave a response that it was not required.
Was not required.
Then the next attorney gave the opinion that it was required.
No, the other way around. We asked the current ethics attorney, and she said, no, it's not required. So then went back and talked to the previous ethics attorney and said, why, if Julie's saying it's not required, why was it required? And the response was that it was up to the county executives to make that decision as to whether SFIs were filed. Does that help?
Right. Yeah, no. to crystallize my concern, one attorney said it was up to the county executive. The other attorney said it wasn't in the law. It wasn't codified. So my point is that when you ask the ethics attorney or any other attorney, it seems to me that the attorney should be giving you the law and not what the county exec says.
And we did get the law from this
right, but we didn't the other time. So that's why you had a conflict. One
right.
attorney suggested that it was up to the county exec.
And we never thought to ask, because everybody, I think that any one of the three of us, and probably
right,
Councilman
yeah.
Bell, had, it was just an assumption,
yeah.
you fill out an SFI. So when
right.
they would say to us, do I have to do it? The answer would be yes. And then all of a sudden...
Maybe I'm not making myself clear.
It wasn't a different answer.
I get all, you get two different answers from two different attorneys.
Correct.
It shouldn't be two different answers from two different attorneys, is my point. Is that either it's in the law or it's not in the law. It should not involve how the county exec feels. If the county exec wanted to be in the law, he should do exactly what we're doing now. That's the only
yes.
point. So what we're doing is what should happen if that's the will of council, but it should not be the will of the county executive for the ethics committee attorney to go to the county exec and say, do you want it or don't want it? If the county exec wanted it, he
yes.
puts it in the law or she puts it in the law. That's my only point, that you got two different answers from two different attorneys. Now we're going to fix that to what we wanted to say, but not leave that to whatever the will of the county exec is.
And that's exactly
that's the problem. That's what
yes.
we're doing, but I say that's
yes.
the problem that we had in the past.
Yes.
Going forward, I think that if we get an opinion from an attorney, no matter what position they're in, it should be a legal response, not a political response, as we've gotten in the past in this case.
I got it.
Yeah,
and that's
Hollins,
pretty much what our discussion was
right.
among the three of us. Should we, do you want this added in? And yes, exactly, because
yeah.
of what you said.
Because we won't stop asking questions of attorneys. So when we ask the question of an attorney, I think we're looking for a legal response, not a political
right.
response.
Right.
And Councilman Hollins, and I'll go to Bob Weiner as soon as I'm complete. To respond to your concern, I think what you're seeing here is interest on the part of the council members that have these, advisory committees to make sure that we are really as ethical and transparent as possible, and that all conflicts, potential conflicts, are part of the public record, and to get out of this discretionary area. And I'm going to bring forward an ordinance that is going to put more power of appointment in the hands of the council members. Because right now, it's a thing that's really, that power of appointment goes to the county executive. Councilman Weiner.
Yeah, I just, I think I agree with everybody. Both the previous ethics attorney and the current ethics attorney both had a legal opinion, and that is, there's no requirement in the law that design review advisory committee members have to file an SFI. What the current ethics attorney didn't have was the 15 years of experience of having worked in the job and dealt with this issue, to have known something the previous ethics attorney did after 15 years, and that was that there was a policy decision being made by previous county executives. And the two ethics attorney, the previous and the present one, spoke, and so then they were both in agreement. And that is, it's not in the law. If the executive branch, if the legislative branch wants to put it in the law, that's certainly within their discretion, which is what we're hopefully going to do. And we shouldn't be relying upon a policy call by the executive branch.
Are there any other questions, comments from members of council on Ordinance 17-039? Any from the public? All right. Very good. Moving along. Substitute number one to Ordinance 16-143 to amend Newcastle County Code, Chapter 2, Administration, Article 5, Departments and Offices, Division 2.05.500, Department of Administration, to create a County Investment Advisory Board. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. This is basically a rerun of a piece of legislation that we had a year and a half ago. I believe it passed unanimously by this council and then was vetoed, and we did not get a veto override. And what this legislation says is that we would be establishing an investment advisory board, that they would make recommendations to both the executive office and to council. And that means that, as opposed to some other ones that we would get an update from them as at least annually, and any time that we asked for it. It spells out who's on the board,
The council gets four appointments to the three public appointments that the county executive gets. There would be two that were ex officio members of Newcastle County, the CFO and the treasury manager. It states what the criteria for being on this board is. It states what the quorum is. And it talks about this board giving an opinion on legislation relating to investment, just as with any other board, when we have something relating to their function, we send it over to them and they comment on it. That would be how this board would act also.
All right, just a comment. Reading the synopsis, it says the seven-member board will be comprised of three county council appointed members.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Three for us and two from the county executive. Okay. I said four and three. I apologize.
No need to apologize. Any other comments, questions from members of council? This emulates practices on the state level. I think it's any more, the more opinions we get about especially investments in the county government, the better we are. And I think this could provide a very important role in resourcing Newcastle County as it develops investment policy.
And as, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Councilmember Kilpatrick.
As we did some research on this the first time around, we found that most governments, not just in Delaware, but most governments have an investment advisory board.
Thank you for that. Good point as well. Any comments, questions for members of council on substitute number one to ordinance number 16-143. All right. Any from the public? Moving along. We are now moving on to the other part of the agenda. We've gone through the interview for the board assessment. We did a presentation on Newcastle County reassessment. Now we're on to Newcastle County Council grant requests and convening events. All right, moving along under grant applications, Southern Newcastle County Rotary Club, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a grant that Councilman Powers and I both join with each year. And the Rotary, in cooperation with the school district, have a display of flags, and they're in the hundreds. And if you go by Middletown High School during this time frame, you'll just see a whole property filled with American flags. just to give an example, each one of us have an opportunity to have each flag dedicated to certain service people and individuals. And just to give an idea on what we've done in the past is this year we will have one in honor and recognition of Corporal Stephen Ballard, Delaware State Police, for being killed in the line of duty. In honor of Major Joseph R. Biden III, honoring the brave men and women of our military, honor of our military veterans, in honor and memory of Joseph M. Ritta, in memory of Lieutenant Joseph L. Zerba, and saluting the men and women of our volunteer fire service. As you go by these flags, especially on weekends, you'll see hundreds of folks out there actually stopping and looking. So very worthwhile cause, very good initiative on the part of the Southern Rotary. So we'd like council's authorization to continue giving that grant.
Want to make a motion?
Yes, so moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Question
aye.
Aye.
Those. Yes, go ahead.
Just
Councilman
for clarification, so we have it on the record, mm-hmm. that this $600 grant will be $300 from Councilman Bell and $300 from Councilman Bowers.
That is correct.
Just wanted to okay.
good clarification.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you, Councilman.
Motion's made. Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
The oh, then it doesn't pass. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh,
eight.
We got eight. We have eight.
Eight.
Okay.
Made sure.
Once he left, right. I got
I made sure.
It's a very profound and worthy program. I'm glad you're supporting that, Councilman Bell and Councilman Powers. Newark Arts Alliance, Councilmember Diller.
Yes, this is for two programs. It's scholarships to their summer camp and the Art to Go program, which actually takes art projects out into the communities, particularly for kids, and now they're innovating with a program for seniors, so I'd like to make a motion for $2,000.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor of a grant to Newark Arts Alliance signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
None.
Okay, the grant is approved to the Newark Arts Alliance. Seller Senior Center, under my sponsorship, Seller Senior Center is one of the largest senior centers in my district. Over 400 seniors participate in their program in the Bellevue Community Center, and they have been impacted by DuPont leaving the scene, as it were, and the support they receive from the DuPont Corporation for their different facets of their operation. So I've offered to help them with that. They've requested $1,740. I have $1,000 that I can give them. So I'm going to make a motion for $1,000 to go to the Seller Senior Center for their operational expenses.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay. Thank you. Moving along. Friends of the Claymont Stone School. Claymont Stone School is actually the one-room schoolhouse conserved by the local Friends group, and they conduct a very active program there, and one of the programs is to subsidize bus transportation for field trips. So they've requested, I've supported this in the past, they've requested $500 from my grant account for defray transportation costs for visiting school children. So I'd like to make a motion for $500 to go to the Friends of the Claymont Stone School.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay. Thank you. That grant is approved to the Friends of Claymont Stone School. We have one travel request.
Yes.
Wasabaw
County Auditor. I'm asking for Council's approval to approve myself and my two staff people, Lynn McIntosh and Ricky Banerjee, to go to a seminar given by the Maryland chapter of the Government Finance Officers Association. It's a three-day, it's actually two-and-a-half-day seminar. It provides 20 hours of continuing professional education credits. I said in prior meetings that each of us, according to government auditing standards, had to have 80 CTE credits every 2 years. It's going to cost us less than $1,000. For the three of us to go, which is a very cost-effective price. Lynn and Rinka were actually commuting, and I'm staying overnight at a friend's house. So the only real cost is for the seminar and for a few meals and the mileage.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The grant, the travel request is approved for our county auditor and his staff. Expense and revenue roundtable. Do we have any comments from members of council for expense and revenue roundtable? Any comments from the public? All right. Anything under other from members of council? Anything from the public? All right. Public comment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The Finance Committee meeting of May 9th is adjourned.
And